second poem.
Well, I tell you, I at the when I delivered my poem before, I said I want to do it Japanese style, which is to repeat. And you didn't connect, and that's okay. I'm going to repeat it now because I think it's worth repeating. And besides, Mary Nance has not heard my poem, and I would like to share it with her. Mary Nance, I live on Vancouver Island, and I live near a park. It's a very large park, and it has two lakes in it. And when I got Charlotte's invitation, I went to the park and sat and said, "There's an invitation to deliver a poem called I Am a Tree. Tell me the poem." And then I came home after being there for quite a while, sitting on a log in the rain, and I came home, and we live in a rainforest, so and I came home and I wrote a poem called I Am a Tree, and I would like to share it with you now. I am a tree. I am a living, conscious being. I live the same adventure of being alive as you do. I am made of the same carbon atoms, same as you. I learn my lessons, same as you. I am born and I will die, same as you. I am a tree. Only the form we take is different. I, like you, read the energy of the moment and understand. I feel my version of the same four emotions as you do. I experience the vibration of love and hate, the sensations of desire and fear. I am a tree, like all of existence. I seek out the positive vibration that nurture my existence. All that exists are drawn to the positive and shun the dark energies of non-existence. All that exists intend for the positive experience of light. I am a tree. Each and every particle of me is drawn, is dancing to the music of the universe. The star called our sun casts a spell that sings a vibration to all that can hear it, and bang, a living, sparkling universe is born. I am a tree. I am a living, conscious being, aware of the energies of the black of yin and the white of yang, aware of the energy of plus and minus, of good and evil, implicit in the existence of one is the other, which completes the duality of dark and bright. We both called life. I am a tree. Thank you.
Even richer with the second reading.
That's why I
Yes.
wanted to do the second reading.
Yes. It gave me shivers. It's good.
Say again.
It gave me shivers. Again, very meditative.
Is there any way I can get a copy of that poem? That is so lovely.
I would be lovely. I would be the happiest to send that to you. I just need an address. So if you want to stick an address in the chat, I'll email it to you.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much, Neil.
And since you just wrote it, it won't be in your book. But could you take a minute to describe your book? Neil is an adventurer, let me tell you. Neil was so committed to getting his book sold and hearing the trickery of sometimes publishers saying they were going to put the book in stores. He bought a motor home, drove a 20-foot vehicle on the Los Angeles from Canada to across the freeways at 65 miles an hour, and was me praying, Lord, please help Ryan out there on the road. But he believed in his work so much, he took a case of books and he went along the seawall and he sold the book to people talking. So just in thinking about process and that process that you mentioned of going down and out and sitting by the tree and hearing what it told you, maybe at some point you could share a little bit more of that process, but it just made me feel like I was traveling, like the tree was really taking me on an adventure through different parts of its system and feeling the, as you were talking about how the tree felt, I was imagining those feelings in my human body. So I really thank you for telling us a little bit about your process before writing the poem, and then at some point we can hear more about your adventure going across America with a case, with case. He had to order more. He sold more books being out on the road behind his work than a lot of people have sold through Amazon or some of the walking, what do you call it, brick and mortar bookstores. He's showing from the other side. The people hearing can't see it, but he's showing us a copy of the book from the other side.
This is from the other side. That's my photograph of the sun breaking the horizon when I was 7 miles over Iceland, looking at probably Scotland or maybe Norway. And we're flying to London, England, and I took a photo. I'm standing behind the pilot, which is unavailable anymore. You cannot sit, you get into, but I was on a business trip and I managed to get in behind the co-pilot. And in fact, London landed a 747 in Heathrow Airport in London, sitting behind the co-pilot.
Wow.
What an enormous, yeah, my life has been an
Ooh.
adventure. And in
Yeah.
fact, if you can see behind me, using these are my current paintings.
I thought probably they were yours.
Anyway, here's the problem with my book. The company that printed it for me is gone bankrupt, so Amazon no longer has it available because the company that I chose to republish it. So I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to cost more money than I've got available at this moment, although I could if I really, really wanted to. But anyway, that's a long story short. The fact is that there are some incredibly beautiful poems that are in this book. I will share one with you just for a minute, if it's okay. It's called In the Stillness. It's very short. In the stillness, in the darkness, in the moments before your lover's morning kiss arrives to remind you of whom they want you to be. In the stillness, in the darkness, a still, quiet voice can be heard whispering to you the truth of your being. In the stillness, in the darkness, there is a truth. Beyond the wound, beyond the tears, there is a love and a compassion seeking to tell you who you really are. In the darkness, in the stillness, you can connect to the oneness of your soul that insists you are all that is. You are the love that creates the universe.
That's beautiful. Yes.
So that's my poetry, and that's what's going on with me, is that I need a $1,500 to go and do a reprint. But, you know, when I did a trip in my motorhome, I went through Washington State, Oregon, California, Arizona, right to Sedona, Arizona. And at I met a lady and I had a business card with me. And in the business card, it simply says on one side, it says, come and read my free poems. Come and read my free poems on this side and buy the book. It's on Amazon. And this lady said she went to my website from the other side, and she read the poem called It's Only a Dollar. And it's about the gift of the beggar man, that the beggar man gives us an opportunity to feel compassion. And that's the poem. And it's about, and in fact, it's in Sixth Street in New Westminster was where I wrote that poem, because it's called It's Only a Dollar. So I don't know if I'm going to reprint or if I'm going to take, I've got another book ready for publication, and I've been hanging off because of money. But anyway, I'm wondering if Audible would in fact be the best choice for my book of poetry.
Well, Audible, we can possibly have a podcast about Audible. I'm doing an audio book and I'm going to be using Audible. We're working on an audio book for possibly some of the people that are on pop-up. So to be continued.
Yes. Okay. So bottom line, I don't know what's happening with the book, so I wasn't going to mention it, but there's so much love in that book that needs to be out in the world.
One of the things, I mentioned Megaphone. Megaphone is a street, part of the worldwide street books, street publications, and it is a form of cooperative economics. So you could come down and interview, talk with them about the possibility of what it would cost to have the publisher, the person that publishes that book, publishes in full color, the vendors, there are people who are street people, transformed from living desperately to vendors who have a license to be able to sell their publications on the street. But it would be one place to just talk, exchange ideas with some of the people that are in this 312 Main Street building. There are a lot of social consciousness groups working here, but Megaphone might be one to talk with to see.
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Mary Nance, do you have a second poem you want to share?
I do. It was the first one that I wrote after I had moved out here, about the community. We had a flock, or whatever they call them, of vultures that were roosting in the liquid amber trees that were on the edge of, I live on Amber Avenue. Can you imagine why? Anyhow, there's a lot of liquid amber trees. And so there was kind of interesting to watch them come in at night and decide where they're going to roost. And then in the morning, they take off and do whatever vultures do all day. And then they'd come back again in the evening. And they did that for about a year. And so I wrote about these. It's called At Dusk on Amber Avenue. Tall grow the trees on my short block. Palms and pines are intermixed with cypress spires and rows of liquid amber torches. The slender eucalyptus leaves chase fluffy kapok tufts across the lawns with every sigh of wind. The giant leaves of sycamores add crunch beneath the feet.
At 4 or 5 each afternoon, the turkey vultures start to come, both singly and in groups, gliding on the unseen winds to find their treetop roosting spots where they can see for blocks around, yet stay hidden from below. We've counted almost 40. Long and strong, black and gray pinions from their wings are scattered here and there, and from their breasts, caught in plants and shrubs, softly curled and shiny black, small feathers wear a ruff of soft white down. Those who walk in twilight time beneath the trees on Amber Avenue are well advised to choose a path not marked by splats of white. That's it.
Well, I was thinking your poetry would be a good introduction to a biology book.
I observe a great deal. I definitely observed those splats of white. You definitely did not want to walk where they were. So,
yes, I grew up in part of my life in Kansas, and there were a lot of birds. And my grandparents used to sit out on the porch and walk, you know, talk about birds. But I haven't, until you talked about that, I was just thinking how many hours and how many times you would have been observing these vultures. And to even know that there's something called a turkey vulture, that might be meat for someone who's writing a science fiction.
Well, one of our retired ministers who served in Bangladesh was totally fascinated by them. And every evening he'd come out with his binoculars, and he and his wife would sit on one of the benches and watch the turkey vultures come in. And then they didn't come back the next season. He was very upset that they didn't do that.
Didn't turkey vultures eat turkeys by any chance?
I have no idea. I think it has to do with the markings on their, the colors on their feathers.
Yeah. They display like turkeys.
Like a turkey? Okay. So, but I used to pick up feathers when I'd go for a walk. But now there aren't very many feathers to be picked up.
I was going to say, Mary Nance, is that you're quite a font of information. You should be a dictionary.
I have introductions. Like I was thinking, your poems, sometimes you get a book and there's something unusual at the beginning. You know, some of those, that poetry might be a way to lead somebody into reading more about nature. But I just think you are definitely a fountain of information.
Thank you.
Well, I was agreeing with what Charlotte was saying. That would be great for science. I think what they have to start doing, like what they did with my parents, was try and integrate science and arts together in nature. And it would make a bit more sense, because I think that's what we've learned through ecowisdom, haven't we, Charlotte?
Yes.
That nature and art and science are not necessarily different apart from one another.
Well, that's very true. I mean, certainly just involving yourself in any of the arts, the fine arts, the crafty arts, any kind of art, you're calling on science all the time. Oh, what a pretty kitty.
Yes, you're seeing my kitty walk in the room.
I'm seeing your kitty, yes. I love cats.
Her name is Kinky because of her tail.
Oh, she's got a kink in her tail?
Yeah.
Then she must have a little Siamese in her.
No, she's a calico tabby.
And she could still have a little Siamese in her.
If she had Siamese in her, I would know. She doesn't have the screech.
Well,
if
to have Siamese. We had several Siamese pairs, and we raised Siamese kittens. And if somehow or another mama decided she wanted to have a different boyfriend this time around, none of the half Siamese look Siamese.
No, but they sure sound like it. I know, because I grew up with a screech. That was a black screech, but the reason why I use the word screech, that is what my father termed the meow. It was a quite meh, 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 meh.
Yep.
That's how come I know the sound very well.
Yep.
I'm a Siamese.
But I've had several other cats through the years that definitely were part Siamese, but without the markings.
Yes, but the way I tended to know, at least the first generation part Siamese definitely had the distinct sound of the Siamese.
They certainly do, Karen. They certainly do.
Well, I certainly have enjoyed our discussion. I see we can just envision poems don't have to be just in books. Poems can be in shirts. Poems can be themes for movies. Poems can be a way of letting us know more about geography, or just the things you observed, because to observe the things that you talked about with vultures, or to observe the smell and scent of the trees, to observe what the water, you know, to sometimes ask a thing, what do you want to be in me? These are some things that those of you who might say, oh, I can't write a poem, or who might have been shy about sharing a poem, I hope that you will think about bringing it the next time we do a pop-up. I'm going to end with one of my poems from my first experience, when someone within, we had an assignment with Anika Wisdom to sit by a tree and hear what it has to say to us. So it's called Hush, Hush. Hush, hush, stop and listen to that tree. Its leaves rustle, a special message to see. See it with your ears. See it with the lobes and canals pulsing from your heart. Hush. Hush, slow the pace of your walking in a rush. The 10-minute path around your sit spot expands new melodies and bass lines. Slow, stop, and listen. Dew falling on a leaf does more than glisten. Listen intently. Follow the trails. Hear the caterpillars faintly pick at the bark. Hear the bird warning to others to back off. From deep within, a lamentation song honors past neighbors. Neighboring trees sawn or burned down, removed from their sacred, now hallowed ground. Hush, hush, the trees are speaking to us.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Yes.
Well, thank you all for popping by. Pop-up poetry is intended to be friendly. It's intended to let people share what's on their heart, share things that may be in a prompt, or just the very thought of coming to talk and share something has inspired someone to write something. So you will be hearing, when you hear these poems, you will be hearing them on my Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show, Suluau, where my guest and I speak up so listeners can listen up and act upon what you've heard. So act upon being out in nature. Act upon seeing the trees around you and hearing things that were always there but you might have missed. I am Charlotte Farrell, and while I say you'll see me next week at 10, when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time.
The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back June 19th to 23rd. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, film, and art in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Featuring New York experimental hardcore trio Show Me the Body as guest curator, incisive Chicago rapper Mick Jenkins, Los Angeles indie rockers Cherry Glazer, genre-bending rap artist Carrie Foe, Montreal-based hip-hop trio Planet Giza, 70s Zamrock revivalist Witch, renowned soundscape composer Laurel Halo, British electronic producer Forest Swords, eminent post-punk three-piece Wombo, Philadelphia hardcore punk group Soul Glow, and many more. Plus, there's over 150 more artists still to be announced. Check out the current lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com.
This is Bird Note. But before Bird Note existed, John Kessler was recording the sounds of Seattle for public radio station KPLU, now called KNKX. From the fairy whistle to the space needle elevator operator.
Welcome to the elevator.
To salmon leaping in a stream. But after 100 or so of these sounds, John was feeling stumped.
I was like, what makes sound? What makes sound? And I was like, oh, wait, birds. Birds make sound.
He connected with some local birders to find the best spots in the city.
I saw some amazing stuff that I had no idea was there, like the Great Blue Heron Rookery at the Ballard Locks. They took me to hear winter wrens at a park overlooking Puget Sound. They also sent me with a grebe expert at Green Lake. 100 feet from a four-lane highway, there's these beautiful birds making their little nests on top of the lily pads.
Shortly after, Bird Note's founder, Chris Peterson, sought out John's musical ear to help create a sound-rich show highlighting the joy of birds. John worked as Bird Note's senior producer for over 18 years. Recently retired from the show, birds are still a part of John's life. He uses a recording device outside his home to keep track of his local feathered friends. And he's hoping to spend a little more time focusing on his own music. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
I'm a